And so Paul, looking past all the other stuff, says, I'm rejoicing too. They think they're, you know. And then we'll close with this. I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. And just briefly, Paul saw the measure of his worth in whether Jesus was being magnified in his life. Not what the circumstance he was in, not if he was abounding, if he was abased, not if he had all things, not if he didn't have a penny to rub together. You know, he says, through Christ I can do all things, through strengthens me. You know, if Jesus is magnified in my life, then that's what's important. Whether they cut my head off and you know, condemn me to death, or whether I get released, I'd like to be released. I'm praying, you know, your prayers and stuff that I will be, but it doesn't matter. Because as long as Christ is magnified, that's all that matters. And God knows which is going to do more for him in his kingdom in my life. And I trust that. So he says, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Wow. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Paul saw that his desire to go be with Jesus, which is greater than anything he could ever imagine. In fact, he knew it would be greater than anything he could ever imagine. But he realized, even though he was torn to be with the Lord, he realized that there's a young church out there, and it needs to grow. It needs some firm guidance. It needs some correction. It needs some rebuke. It needs some training in righteousness to grow in joy and faith. And so it would be better for me to live on a little while. You know, and I look at the world, you know, for the unsaved, what is life? To live is wealth, and to die is to leave something for the kids to fight over. You know, isn't that a bummer attitude to have? But yet, you know, have you seen the bumper stickers, you know? A gray-haired grandpa that says, I'm spending my children's inheritance, you know, and they're driving a nice Mercedes or something. You know, how many of you know who the three people the Great Pyramids were built for to immortalize? One guy does. Hey, you worldly fella, what's the deal with you? No, I'm kidding. Bless you guys. We'll get started here in just a minute. There's some coffee and stuff in the back if you want. I gotta read this to close, if you don't mind. I've really been sipping on the old wine. You know what I mean. Exodus chapter 28. It's just come to life for me the last few weeks just reading in the Old Testament. And we'll close with this. And I would ask as we read this that the Lord would really speak to you the spiritual allegory, because these things, as we've talked about before, are just copies of Jesus. These instructions that God gave Moses on the mountain. In Exodus chapter 28, in the first verse, it says, Aaron and your brother from among the children of Israel, I've called you to be priests, that you may minister to me. Now, three times in these first few verses, it says, minister to me. I want to make a note of that. And the garments that they were to wear when they went into the Holy of Holies was to be done by gifted artisans filled with the Spirit of wisdom. The Holy Spirit would even make the garments that they would wear. Now, let's go on down to verse 6. That this ephod that they would wear, artistically worked. Now, on to verse 9, you shall take two stones, onyx stones, and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel. So two stones would be put on the ephod, up at the shoulders of the ephod, if you will. Verse 12, and you shall put the two stones on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. So Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders as a memorial. And then verse 15, you shall make a breastplate of judgment. And over to verse 20, and they shall be set in gold. And the stones shall have the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, engraved. Down to verse 29, so Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart. And then the final verse, verse 30, so Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. And this just came to me this morning as I was, that three times the Lord says, when you take the prayers, when you come into my presence, you're ministering to me when you carry the names of my people. He says, when you carry the names of my people on my shoulders, on your shoulders, you're doing what Jesus said, that come to me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That you're carrying the burdens of the people on your shoulders as you come into my presence. And the breastplate of judgment, that you would have the children of Israel also on your heart, you see, as you came into my presence. And that, you know, my judgment isn't to condemn. My judgment is to pass out crowns. That's what we have as a promise from the Lord, you see. And so when the high priest would come into the presence of the Lord, ministering to him by bringing the burdens of the people on his shoulders and carrying the excellence, that they would have discernment to prove those things that are excellent into the presence of God. See, when the high priest went in there, all the people were all around, just all excited that if God received the offering and accepted it, that means their sins had been transferred off of them and covered, atoned for. And so they yearned, and the high priest had to go in there with sincerity, you know, because if he didn't, if his motives weren't pure before the Lord, he died. They had to pull him out with a rope. And he had a little robe, and it had pomegranates, and then a bell, and then a pomegranate and a bell down to the hem of their robes, the hem of the garment that people understood as having power. That's why the woman with the issue of blood reached for the hem of his garment. She knew there was power in it. And the bells let the people know that he was still alive while he was in there. The pomegranate, see, is the fruits of righteousness. He was taking in there the beauty of the body of Christ. He was going in there if the people would not fear, because the bell was ringing, and the beautiful fruit was being carried in there, and the burdens of the people were taken before the Lord, and the joys and the intimacy and the koinonia and fellowship of the body was close to his heart as he went in before them into that place. And guys, guess what? We've been called to be kings and priests, and I think we're ministering to the Lord when we care for one another and go into his presence. Let's pray.